Well, I'm going to do a short sermon series on the heart. And so God's been moving very powerfully in Kenilworth Baptist Church in many of our lives concerning the condition of our hearts. If you want a healthy physical heart, you need to exercise and look after it and eat the right food. But our spiritual heart, if you like, that's our heart, our mind, our spiritual being, needs looking after as well. And we're going to unpack some of the scriptures that explain why this is so important. Now, just to set the scene, it's wonderful to know of many of the virtues of the blood of Jesus. And there's a tremendous book you can get from www.kingdomfaith.com that Colin Urquhart wrote called The Blood Speaks. And it's a tremendous book that I've given away a few, and they've impacted those lives. But it's one of those books that explains the power of the blood of Jesus, but the different aspects and virtues of the blood. And I pray these over my life, a few of them every day, just to remind myself of my position in Christ. So the first one, for instance, is the blood speaks of sacrifice. And I thank Jesus that he was prepared to sacrifice his life on the cross for me. And I thank Father God that he was prepared to sacrifice his own son, Jesus, that he was prepared to be sacrificed. The blood speaks of punishment. And I thank Jesus that he took the punishment that my sins deserved for me to be punished. He took the punishment off of me, and the punishment for my sins were placed on him at the cross. And then the blood speaks of cleansing. I thank Jesus for the cleansing blood of the blood of Jesus. I can start every day clean. And the blood speaks of forgiveness. I thank God that I'm forgiven every single day. I'm cleansed. I'm washed in the blood. I'm forgiven. As far as the east is from the west, so far has the Lord removed my sins from me. And then the blood speaks of access to him and acceptance before him, because he sees us holy and blameless in his sight. So what I'm trying to say here is I'm a tremendous fan of the grace and the mercy and the love and the blood of Jesus. I'm somebody that loves the grace of God. I love being loved by God. I love being set free from all of my sin and inadequacy and failure. But that's not the finishing point. And what we need to be careful of as Christians, we don't just say, well, I'm forgiven. Well, I know his mercy. Well, I know his grace. If I sin, he'll forgive me again. You know, that attitude does not reflect any understanding whatsoever of what it cost Jesus for those of us who are born again to be totally free. And so I believe, as I do these few sermons, if you'll open your heart to God, he will do a work in your heart as he's doing in ours at the moment. And you'll basically end up knowing him better. There's a scripture in Ephesians, isn't it, that says, I pray that the heart of your understanding will be open, that you would know him better. And so it's God's intention to change us from one degree of glory to another. It's God's intention that he's working in our lives, bringing that change about. And we're going to understand by the end of this, having encountered God as well, if you'll allow God to speak into your life, what it is not just to live in the grace, the love and the mercy of God, but what it is to live in the fear of the Lord also, not being scared of him, but in reverence and in awe. Scripture tells us, let us worship God in reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. We see in Revelation even, where God's speaking to the churches and he's saying, you're doing great at this, you're doing great at that, you're doing really well at this, but this I hold against you, you've forsaken your first love. And so again, we can see, and we're going to unpack this morning, today, whenever you're listening to this, some of the things God does to keep us on the right track and to keep our hearts soft before him. And the first scripture we have here is from Hebrews 12:11-12. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you're illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we reject them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. This is important, that we don't abuse grace, and that we understand that there's an ongoing work that God's wanting to do in our lives. You know, I've brought up children, but I tell you, I didn't just feed them on ice cream and trifle. They had to eat veg as well. And, you know, if you just live on the back of grace and mercy, what will actually happen is you'll start to ignore when God's wanting to speak into your life, and you'll stop growing. You know, God speaks to us in his grace. It's in his mercy he disciplines us and changes our hearts from one degree of glory to another. But there's so much positive things out there, so many good Christian videos, recordings. We can just feed ourselves all the time on how much God loves us. Yes, but let's not miss out on the point that in his love, he loves us too much to leave us as we are. Now, in Hebrews 4 and verse 12, scripture says, just before Hebrews 4 verse 12, it says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. So again, we're instructed that when God speaks into our hearts, we want him to speak into soft hearts. And I'll unpack that a little bit more in another session. But Hebrews 4 and verse 12 actually says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Hold on to that for a minute. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. We will all give an account for what we've done with this love, mercy, grace and forgiveness one day. And that needs to put a kind of reverent submission and awe into our heart attitudes. Now, when we're born again, as I say, God gives us a new heart. If you like, he renews our inner being. He gives us a new nature. When we talk of heart, don't just think of that little thing beating in your body. It's your spirit, your innermost being. Ezekiel 11:19 in the Amplified Version says, and I will give them one heart, a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit within them. And I will take the stony, unnaturally hardened heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, sensitive and responsive to the touch of their God. So hear this scripture showing us that we need to live a life of worship in spirit and in truth, being filled with the Holy Spirit regularly, and as a prayer life where we encounter God, because we need sensitivity to what he's speaking into our lives. You know, Hebrews 4, we were just looking there, where it says, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart as you did in the rebellion. And what we need to make sure is that our heart stays soft for God's correction and strengthening and direction. And so on another session, we'll be talking about the parable of the sower and the type of ground our heart needs to be. Now, going back a little bit, we see from Ezekiel, God wants to is giving us a heart of flesh and not stone. But that heart God wants to speak into. And when God speaks his word, it divides between right and wrong. You know, in politics and in the world, there's so much confusion, basically, because God's not in the middle. You can sum it up like that. Everyone has their own ideas, their own thoughts, and you have to kind of tread around people and be careful what you can and can't say. God's word isn't careful about what it can and can't say. Now, we need to be careful and wise in the exercising of how we express his word, and loving and gracious and non-judgmental and all the rest of it. But here it says God's word You know, if you sign up for this and you're born again, spirit filled, and you say, God, I want you to keep my heart soft and on track with you, it's very clear. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. In other words, it's very clear. This is God. This isn't God. This is light. This is darkness. And I want God to speak into my heart more and more like that, because God isn't confused. God is in control. And then it says it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. You know, you'll often hear a parent say to a child, that's not a very good attitude, or work colleague, or another relationship. That's a bad attitude. It's an attitude of the heart. I want God's attitudes in my heart. You know, I have conflict as well. I have people I fall out with. We all have situations that are difficult and we want to react to. But actually, I have to come back to prayer and say, God, keep my heart soft. I keep my heart in line with your word. I'm not to judge that person. I'm not to criticize that person. I'm not to have unforgiveness towards that person. You see, I'm constantly looking out for God to deal with the attitudes of my heart. And then it goes, before we move on from there, that's such a key one. Let's pause there for a minute. You may want to say, Father God, you're highlighting right at the outset here something in my heart. And I forgive so and so. I forgive them, Lord Jesus. And I let that go. I will not have a hardened heart. Lord, I will not have a judgmental heart. Forgive me when I criticize others and judge other people. When you say, judge not lest you be judged. And you've let me off so much myself. Keep working in my heart, Father God, so that I will become more like you and see your attitudes in my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. And again, I'm doing a teaching session here, but you know, sometimes I'll spend half an hour, just time with the Lord, letting him deal with my heart, bringing to mind how he wants me to deal with those things. Maybe he's building patience into my heart. It can be anything for anyone. But the point here is that we're to have the attitudes and thoughts of the heart that God has for us. And then it goes on to say in Hebrews 4:12, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. You can't hide and I can't hide anything from God. Everything, and also that means how others treat you is not hidden. He knows what's going on. But you can't have and I can't have a heart that's shaped around what people say to us or do about us or do behind our backs. That's not where your shaping is. And if your heart's been shaped by that, those people have had control over you. But God is in control of my life. And the only hurts I can have are my unforgiven ones. You know, God will mend my heart. God will restore my heart. God will heal my heart, but not if I'm harboring judgment and criticism and self-righteousness in areas of my life. This is a big subject, but you get the drift here. God will speak into your heart and into my heart if they're soft before him. And then it goes on to say in Hebrews 4:12, everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. I will not give account to God for how others are towards me. I will not give account to what others have said about me. I will not give account to God for how others have treated me, but I will give account to God for how I've treated others. I will give account to God for how I've forgiven others. I will give account to God that when people have attacked me or been unkind about me, I can forgive and let it go and walk free before God and leave God to deal with those situations. He sees when we're like that to others and when others are like that to us. But ultimately, you will not give your life, you know, your account to your life will be before God, not before other people. As a church minister, it's really challenging because when God tells me to speak something out, and even this subject isn't necessarily a popular one, you know, if I speak on grace or love or mercy or healing, everyone loves it. But, you know, who wants to hear about being holy? Well, I actually do, but I haven't always. Who wants to hear about tithing? Who wants to hear about robbing God? Who wants to hear about those things? But you see, if I don't obey God when he tells me to speak a full menu and we're dealing with the vegetables maybe or the things that aren't so popular, I will give an account for that. Every minister will give an account for whether they've lived to please the people or lived to please God. And you'll actually find that when you even speak a word of correction, those living to please God embrace it. It's only those that never want to really move on with God, just want all the blessing and all the other stuff, where offence will be taken. Now, when God speaks to me, I don't always like it. I have to work through stuff. But ultimately, I know it's for my good. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but it brings with it a harvest of righteousness. So really, the message we're getting today, and we're going to wrap this up in a minute, as we begin this mini-series is, how soft is my heart? I'm going to have to give an account to God one day for how I've lived. I'm not going to give an account for how others have lived. I'm going to give an account for what my heart attitude has been. You know, sometimes when you soften your heart before God and you don't retaliate, you don't say what you'd like to, you don't publicize what's happened to you, you feel like the biggest loser, and the person that's done the stuff against you has done wrong. Seems to have won. But let me tell you something. Didn't it look like that for Jesus when they hung him on the cross and Satan says, ha, that's him finished? No, Jesus said his work was finished. On the cross, he said, it's finished. But what the enemy thought had finished, he gave the best he could to destroy Jesus, but God raised him from the dead. You know, and just because you might feel like you seem finished because all these things other people have done against you and all the rest of it, it's not finished till God says it's finished. And when you die to your so-called right to retaliate and wrong heart attitudes, God then says, right, resurrection power is coming your way. But you have to, and I have to deal with the other stuff first, because that new nature that God has given us is a nature that's able to be corrupted if we harbour unforgiveness, bitterness and resentment. Proverbs 4:23 in the NIV affirms this. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything flows through it. If the enemy can mess your heart up through resentment and unforgiveness, and be, you're a victim of everything everyone's done, God doesn't just say, forgive and be a loser. He says, forgive, let it go. That will free you to A, let me deal with what needs dealing with, but B, it frees you just to move on and live the life I intended you to live. Proverbs 4:23, the new scripture in the New Living Translation, says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Isn't that incredible? That if we do not guard our hearts and lives, the course of our life can not go the way God intended it to go. You know, don't let what other people do mess your life up. I'm not underestimating, especially where there's been abuse and different things, mental, physical. You know, if I can just let you know a little secret, I know what it is to have abuse in my childhood. I understand the pain in that, but Jesus took that pain to the cross. I'm not just talking to you as someone who's whizzed through life and nothing's ever happened. No. But the thing that's more important than any other abuse is the power of the blood of Jesus. And if my heart cries out to him, if my heart forgives those who abuse me, if my heart forgives, then it gives that enabled God to move into my life and for me to move, to forget the old and move on with the new. But you and I have to be prepared to allow the Spirit of God change our hearts. God's word is strong. It's not just a pacifying thing that ministers are to give out on Sunday to cater to the whim of every person, and we're too afraid to address issues of the heart. No. That's basically being a spiritual coward. Now, I understand why people are pressured into doing that. No, we are not cowards. We are strong in God, and we're to speak God's word in love, in grace and mercy. But then the Spirit does the work behind it. It's not that we're ungracious or loud or harsh. It says this word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. It's the word of God by the Spirit working and dividing that which is of light and that which is of darkness. So there's a few issues there as we begin this course to think through. Maybe listen to this through a couple of times and write down what you feel God's saying to you. If you need any help or prayer to help you through forgiveness or whatever, you can contact the on our website. You'll find the contact link where we can pray and stand with you in faith and in prayer. But, you know, I always find the best thing is deal with it with God. And we have direct access to his throne, don't we? And you know, simple to forgive people. You just come before the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me that I've hardened my heart, that I've been resentful. I felt like a victim of this. But Jesus, you took all that victim stuff to the cross. You took all my pain and suffering. Jesus, you didn't walk around talking about the fact you were a victim. Lord, you rose in victory and I can live in that victory with you. Lord, my fight isn't against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers in the heavenly realm. Those things that want to knock my life off the course you have. It's never too late, God. I come back to you today. Hallelujah. And you can just pray things like that. And if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, get filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, talk to another friend who's a believer. You're obviously listening to this for some reason. Contact us and we'll... there's a tremendous link on our website about what a Christian is and how to become a Christian. But the point is, don't let your course be thrown off life. It's one thing the person did that stuff to you. It's another thing that you allow what they did to mess your life up. And so let's just summarize today. God doesn't just want us to live with a false concept of, well, I'm forgiven, his mercy, his grace is great, and you park there. No, that's a starting place for God to change us from one degree of glory to another. The second thing is that God, we're not to harden our hearts when he speaks to us in Hebrews 4:12. And we're to allow him to, you know, we can put on a good friendly face to other Christians. How are you? Fine, thank you. And all the rest of it. But God knows what's going on in your heart. God knows what's going on in my heart. And we're to, it's bare before him. And we'll give an account for how much we allow him to work in our hearts and lives. And above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. It affects the course of your life. God's given us a new heart, hasn't he? A new spirit within us, the Holy Spirit. And we're to guard our innermost being from the things that the enemy would want to throw at us. But we're to walk in that soft cooperation with God, so his spirit can do the work he wants to do. So be encouraged, be blessed, but also be challenged. Be challenged, you know. Maybe be praying, God, would you shine the spotlight on my heart? You know, would you stop me blaming others for my life? And would you actually shine the spotlight on my heart and say, well, actually, you know, I'm not responsible for how God deals with others. Peter saw that, as we know in the parables. You know, what about him? What about him? Never you mind. You just be concerned about the state of your heart before God and leave God to deal with the state of other people's. God bless you guys. And I hope this is an encouragement to you. And we'll keep posting these and move on and trust the Holy Spirit to do a great work in us. Amen.